Tonight we're going to be in Psalm 100, a very short chapter, but I think it's, it ties into this morning, it ties into the music tonight, it ties into where we need to be, I believe. We were talking in men's Bible study tonight, we were talking about the children of Israel in Hebrews, where it talks about they came out and it says, don't harden your heart because you need to, God's wrath caused them not to enter into his rest. They were not able to get into the promised land because of God's wrath on them. And as we're sitting there, I'm thinking about the fact that the whole purpose that God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt was so that they would go to the mountain and worship him. It wasn't for the miracles of the parting of the Red Sea. It wasn't for the miracles of the manna from heaven or the water from the rock. It wasn't for the blessings. It wasn't for the miracles. The purpose was so that they would come out of bondage and worship him on the mountain. That was the purpose. They got distracted because, like we talked about, they ended up focusing on what I want. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I don't like the direction we're going. And they begin to lose focus. And I think the whole reason they lost focus was because they didn't leave for the right reasons. The reason I get to where I lose focus during my week is because my initial reason is to just get away from bondage, to get away from trouble, to get away from heartache. My original reason should be to go up on the mountain and praise him. And then, so we're talking that in men's Bible study about following him and entering his rest and not drifting and focusing on him. And then we come to Psalm 100. So let's pray real quick. Father, I just pray right now your blessing on your word as you open it. Lord, your word is perfect. Your word is true. Your word is for us. Lord, you use it in our lives. Break down all barriers. Take away all distractions and help us to see what it is that you want to do in our lives and with our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, very short passage. I can remember years ago when we went on youth trips and this was our theme song, Make a Joyful Noise. We were going to go to Colorado and we were going to sing. And every time we started singing, the bus broke down. Flat tire, lights going out, radiator hose, windows having to be taped up. All these things. Every time we would make a joyful noise, something would happen. But we squeezed that 12-hour trip into a 24-hour trip. So it was, that's just one way. And so, but this was the verse that a lot of times we would focus on because, some of us didn't sing very well. And it was like, hey, all you got to do is make a joyful noise. And so as we go into this scripture tonight, I want to look at it maybe, probably in the same way that many of you have. But I've seen some things this past week as I've studied and I've prayed and I've looked over this. I've seen some things that I need to look at differently. But it starts out, make a joyful noise or make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And let's stop right there. And that's a verse and a half. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, we know that probably when David was writing this, he's talking to the children of Israel, and sometimes in the Old Testament, when it would say all the lands, it was talking about all of Israel needs to be making a joyful noise. And so if we take that and take that idea, that visual of it, every one of God's children need to be making a joyful noise to the Lord or a joyful shout to the Lord. You have to make it. I can't make it for you. The person beside you can't make it for you. But make a joyful shout to the Lord. I think sometimes my problem is, and some problems that people have is, we want to shout praises to God, but I want to shout them to Dallas so Dallas hears them. I want to shout them so Patrick hears them, or Heather hears them, or somebody else hears them. But it says, shout to the Lord. Not focusing on the noise. I'm not focusing on the sound. I'm focusing on the object of my praise. Too many times we lose the focus of who this is to. Yeah, I'm thanking Him for all that He's done and all the blessings in my life and the way He has been so faithful to me through my life when I didn't even acknowledge Him. But He's saying here, make that shout, make that praise, make that joyful noise, make that to the Lord. And then it says, all you lands. The other way that commentaries look at this is, Christians are supposed to make that noise, proclaim to God praise. However you're going to praise Him, praise it not quietly. It's a joyful shout. So as you praise God in hopes that all the other people out there, all the other lands beside Israel will hear you. So all of Israel was supposed to shout to the Lord and praise God, praise to Him in such a way that all the other lands around them would hear and they would praise as well. The idea was to have a total earthly praise to God. Well, that seems like that's out of the question. No, it's not. One day it's going to happen. That's a promise. One day it is going to happen. All the earth, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Shout, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. If I ever get in my mind that, well, you know, I know people, you know people, and they're never going to praise God, then I'm saying that this is not a possibility, and I'm putting my God in a box. I don't need to worry about those other lands. I don't even need to worry about other Christians. I just need to make sure my focus, my noise, my praise is to my Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Man, does this tell on us? Attitude is everything. Man, we serve God a lot of times and it's like, you know, this is no fun. Don't see a whole lot of earthly reward. You see a lot of people not doing anything with a lot of earthly reward. But I'm going to serve Him because He told me to. I'm going to serve Him because I know that's what's best. I'm going to serve Him because in the long run I will end up being rewarded someday. Serve the Lord with gladness today. I don't serve Him based on what I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to serve Him because He is my Lord. And I'm going to serve Him with gladness. And if you look, a servant does not do his own will. You are going to serve somebody else. The servant is going to do whatever the master says, whatever the Lord of the house says. That's the servant's job. The servant might be, man, I can't reach high enough to dust that. That's not my problem. That's your job because that's what He told you to do. We want to pick and choose what jobs God gives us, but it says to serve the Lord and do it with gladness because people will notice. They see that attitude of gladness. I can remember when I was in college, there was a young lady that went on a mission trip with me. And some of you may have heard this story. Her name was Tonette. And she worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken at the time. There was one in Bolivar. And she did not come from a very good home life. She really didn't. Her family was broken up. They didn't speak to each other. She was a long ways from home and didn't have a whole lot of connections to family, and you would have never known it. Because, man, that girl loved Jesus, and she was going to make you smile. She was going to serve God with gladness, and you were going to notice that girl's either insane or something's really good. I mean, it was that case. I remember, and I'm not going to get into it, but she blessed my aunt one time who was at the time dying of cancer, and she sat down and my aunt laughed, and that was the last time I can remember her really laughing. But you could see the gladness in her service. And it wasn't because she's working at Kentucky Fried Chicken, carrying 20 hours, you know, going on mission trips. She loved God so much. You could see that gladness because she wasn't serving my aunt. She wasn't serving me. She wasn't serving the people in Kentucky Fried Chicken. She was serving God with gladness. And it changed to where this is, I don't know how many years later, and it still makes me want to tear up because I saw the gladness that she served the Lord, even though life was not what she would probably have chosen. And so I think when God says, Steve, you're supposed to serve me with gladness. Man, it's easy on Sunday morning. We come in here and we've got visitors and we've got, you know, the pews are getting fuller. And man, we can be really glad. But when we go somewhere and we start to do something and it doesn't look the same, it's hard to serve with gladness. But that's what God calls us to do. David is saying here, that's what God desires. Goes on, it says, come before his presence with singing. So we've got shout to the Lord, serve the Lord, and come before his presence with singing. And I put these two messages together this week, the one from this morning, and then this one. And I'm pretty slow, but I thought I would realize that they both talked about us being in his presence. You just thought I'd have caught on a lot sooner. But that's what it comes down to, is we come before him, come before his presence with singing. And so if I'm coming before his presence, who am I singing to? But to him. It's not about me. It's not about the people around me. I am to make an effort to come before his presence. Even when it's not easy. Because there's times when I come before his presence and it's because I'm crawling. Things aren't good. And we come before him. But he says, come before me with singing. And I don't care how you have to get there, but once you're there, man, singing should be a part of it. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And here, we've got the Creator and the Redeemer all in one verse. I was looking through this week and David says, know that the Lord, he is God. We all know that. We know that the Lord is God. But if you flip that around, it looks like some of us don't know that God is Lord. You know, there are a lot of Christians, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe in God the Creator. Well, if you believe that God is the Creator and you believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, then the two are together, and that means you have to put him first. He has to be your Lord in order for him to be your Savior. He is the Creator, your Savior, your Lord, the one you're supposed to follow, the one I'm supposed to follow is God. We know that. So back it up and say, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's he that's made me. He is my Creator. There's times when I start looking at my life in the past, and God could very easily be sitting up there and said, Steve, you didn't create yourself. You didn't create this life. I know you would rather be doing this, but you're not the boss. I created you. You didn't create yourself. It is He that created us and not ourselves. So why do I live in such a way sometimes that my focus is about what I want instead about my Creator? Because without Him, I'm nothing. And then it goes on, it says, it's He that made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, if you take the view that this was written to just the Jews, He's saying, God chose the Jews. God chose the children of Israel. They are His people. And they are the sheep that are in His pasture. God chose them. It was not something that they chose Him. The sheep doesn't go to the market and say, okay, I'm going to go home with that shepherd. Doesn't work that way. But that's the way we live. We want to be the shepherd that's leading, or we want to be the sheep that's leading the shepherd. And it doesn't work that way. We are His people. He has bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are His. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, as they say, but we are His. We are His. Yes, He is my God, but really it comes down to I am His child. Sometimes we take that idea that He's my God. Got Him right here in my pocket. That's the attitude of a lot of people, is that He's my God. No, I'm His child. And the sheep, of course, we all know the analogy of how the shepherd loves the sheep, how the shepherd leads the sheep, and the sheep should know the shepherd's voice. But we are the sheep of His pasture. Jesus says, I have other sheep and that you don't know of. And I believe that's referring to the fact that He's talking to the Jews who were God's chosen people, God's chosen sheep. But there are also these Gentiles, this other group that are God's that you know nothing about. But we are that sheep. We are of His pasture. As I thought about this week, I could not get past this. They had pastures that they roamed and they would set their sheep out in, but it was pretty much their pasture. The shepherd was in charge of it. He had permission. It was all about His pasture. And the sheep were able to go out into His pasture. You are to be in His pasture. You are to be under His control. He's there to watch you. He's there to protect you. He has a place for you to be, and that's in His pasture. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and be thankful to Him. Bless His name. Again, enter into His gates. To the Lord, in His presence, enter His gates, come before His presence. All of those are saying, you're not where you're supposed to be. You need to come into where He's at. You need to enter into His gates. Steve, you are not where you're supposed to be. You need to enter into His gates. And you need to do it with thanksgiving. Now, I can sit here and I can tell Donis, man, I am so thankful for what God has done for me. And I can tell people, man, look at all the things that God has done for me. And I can be thankful and tell people of the things I'm thankful for. But this says thanksgiving. That has to be to the person that gave. And I know God wants us to stand up and give testimonies, and that's what we do on Sunday nights about what God has done for our life and the blessings and the things that we are thankful for. And I think sometimes we do that more than we enter His gates and thank Him. Because that's what He deserves. Yes, I want other people to know I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. But I think He wants me to come before Him and tell Him what I'm thankful for. Give Him thanks. And again, it's entering into His gates. It goes on, it says, and into His courts. And into His inner courts is with Him. I'm not supposed to stand outside and shout praise. I'm supposed to come into His presence, come into His courts with praise. And like I said this morning, and I love it, and I think we're supposed to do it, to come together as a group and praise God and sing to Him. But He says, come into My courts, I believe, and praise Him, straight to Him, in His presence. Praise Him. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. I think through this whole week and through this message, through this passage that God has laid on my heart, I think the biggest thing that I'm understanding is my whole purpose is I know He brought me out of bondage or slavery. He freed me. He set me free from sin. And at that point, the whole purpose is to be in His presence, praising and thanking and singing and shouting to Him. And if I do that in total surrender, then I will be doing what He wants me to do. This last verse says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And this is just to wrap up the chapter, right? I don't think so. It says, for the Lord is good. Not that He has been good in my life. I could sit here tonight and I could tell you, and you could tell me all the things that God has done in our life about how He has been so, so good to us. But understand that the Lord is good. It's an ongoing thing. And that is why I praise Him. Not because of, and man, it seems like everything I'm saying is a verse from a song. Not because of all the things that He's done, but because of who He is. Because He is a good, good God. And you can go into it however you want to. But the Lord is good. So I'm supposed to make the joyful noise, serve the Lord, come into His presence, know that He is the Lord God, He is good. He's made us. I'm supposed to enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, be thankful and bless His name because or for. It's the same word in Greek. Because the Lord is good. You're supposed to do all those things. I'm supposed to do all those things out of honor to Him because He's good. His mercy is everlasting. Man, His mercy is everlasting. If you sit and you think, and mercy is when we don't get what we should get. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. But when He is merciful to us, it's everlasting. And the fact that mercy is everlasting, why is mercy everlasting? Because I need mercy every day. And if mercy stopped, my brokenness doesn't stop. Mercy is everlasting because He knows that Steve can't get by without it. And it's eternal. It brings me up until the point that I stand before God. His mercy is everlasting because His love is everlasting. And then this last part, and His truth endures to all generations. Man, it lasts for all generations. Or, you look at it two ways. in my mind, and I'm not saying this is totally 100% scriptural, but this was the thought that God laid on my heart this week. It's going to endure through all generations, at least if you keep telling them about it. Does that make sense? I mean, it's going to be there no matter what, whether I tell people or not. But sometimes I think God wants to put in my mind, the truth is there, and it's there for the next generation, but if you don't tell the next generation, they'll never know. It endures through all generations. It is there, the truth. Jesus Christ is there for all generations. But Steve, if you don't tell them, they're never going to know. But that puts it back on me, and it's not about me. Because even when I fail, even when I mess up and I don't tell the people I'm supposed to tell, you know, and you've probably been in those situations when you think, man, I know I missed it. I dropped the ball because I should have said something to that person today. Man, I had the perfect opportunity. God gave me the open door to talk to that person and I blew it. I messed up. God's truth doesn't stop with me and my mistakes. It's in Him. It's going to endure into all generations because He is God. He is good. We have to take this passage, I believe, and put it into He deserves thanks. And actually, if you go back, I think it's chapter 93 up through 100, and this kind of finalizes all those chapters, but I wasn't going to go through that many. But it comes to the point of, if God is your God, then you come into His presence and thank Him. You come into His presence and you praise Him. You come into His presence and you sing to Him. You come into His presence because He's your God. So why do I spend most of my life not in His presence? I mean, that's really what I'm getting out of this whole week from this morning's message and tonight's is, Steve, if He's your God, if He's your Lord, you need to make an effort. Make a joyful noise. Make an effort. Come. Enter. There's got to be effort on my part. The reason I come out of Egypt is to worship my God. And if that's not my purpose when I get up of a morning, if I don't start seeking Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him, to enter into His presence, very few times am I just going to stumble into His presence. Now, there are times that He's going to hit me with a 2x4 and wake me up. There are going to be times I'm going to stumble and fall on my knees and realize the only place to look is up. But that's because that's all I can do. He wants me to serve Him and worship Him and love Him because that's my choice. Not because I can't go any lower, but because He desires me to seek, to serve, and to love Him and worship Him and praise Him. To honor Him and glorify Him. And you cannot do that if you don't enter His presence. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this passage, Lord. And I know David wrote this as a praise, as a time to remind people what they were supposed to do. Lord, I just lift it to You. Lord, I do want to enter Your presence. Actively, knowingly, every day walk with You, that I would be where You want me to be, in Your pasture, serving You as my Lord, praising You, not for anything other than You are my God, but really because I am Your child. Lord, I thank You and praise You for loving me, for all You do. But mostly for just who You are. In Your name I pray. Amen.